God is good. All the time. God is good. Thank you so much for his love. And I don't know even what to say, but I moved this morning with the Spirit of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you. It is that time for the message. And the Lord, I ask you to speak for me. Let the people receive the message and may be blessed. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen.
I want you to look to a person next to you. Please don't move. Just look to them and smile and say, God loves you. It's amazing. Someone is waving, someone is hugging, but I see people smiling. And God is good. So my message this morning, is entitled Laughter of Doubt and Joy. Laughter of doubt and what? And joy. Now let me read something here so it can help us understand better. According to the late Robert Proven, who was a laughter expert and a professor of neurobiology of psychology at the University of Maryland, said laughter is specifically a social structure, something that connects humans with one another in a profound way. Now, he says there's a cruel laughter. There's a cruel laughter. You know, when I was going through this, I learned kind of things which I didn't thought I knew. A cruel laughter. Laughing at someone else's expense may not be cruel, but is wrong. You are laughing at somebody else's what? Expense. Canned laughter. He said that is a TV. It is a TV laughter track. Those who have watched comedies, there are people in the background who are doing what? Laughing. You wonder, are they really laughing or they're paid to laugh? Okay? Snorting laughter. When something strikes you funny. Pigeon laughter. Something fell from the sky, pigeon dropping. You are splattered, but your friend is not. And you laugh. Ah! You're okay, but something happened to the next person. Stress relieving laughter. Hard workout that you laugh through. People who work out, sometimes you see them so happy and laughing. They're raising their stress. Belly laughter. This one is something. Laughing so hard you often have to grasp for an air. You see some people who they can laugh until they can't stop. Until you have to hold him. That Brother Jet, how are you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Silent laughter is also practiced in yoga. A silent laughter. Can you laugh silently without somebody knowing? Interesting. Nervous laughter. When we are, in fact, actually nervous, we're laughing, but we're what? But you are nervous, but you are laughing. Contagious laughter. Get one person laughing, and then pass on to what? To the next person. So let me read the scripture reading again. It says, Hebrews 13 verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, this takes me to Genesis 18 verse 1 to 15. Over in the teleconference, and anybody who is listening around, that's where our message will be based this morning. Genesis 18 verse 1 to 15. The three visitors who came to Abraham. Three visitors who came to Abraham. Now listen to this. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Those who have been in the Middle East, it can get real hot there. I remember this summer when we traveled with my family. On Sabbath day, we were at the city of Dubai. And outside, it was almost 120 degrees. You cannot go outside. It was hot. And here the Bible says it was what? It was heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing by. Abraham invite him to his tent. This is what he said, I quote, if I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass you as servant by. Let a little water be brought, then you may all wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, and then go on your way. Abraham looked up. He saw three people standing near his tent. You know, when I was reading this, it's like they were going somewhere. But Abraham invited what? In. And he insisted, please, don't pass. Rest a little bit until you get something. Then you can go on your way. They said, very well, they answered, do as you say. Abraham and Sarah worked so quickly to prepare the food for the visitors. I know Sister Cheryl been in Africa over my village. It's true. Some years back. You know, when they tell you it's just up there, it's not very far. If you did not prepare to walk, it can be quite interesting. Now, Abraham tells Sarah, prepare the food what? Quickly. Now, let me remind you, those old days there was no microwave. There was no Burger King. And then, guess what does it mean to prepare the food? It's going to take some time. When I was reading, to make it story short, they went prepare a very nice animal. Back in Africa, we say the sweet animal, the one which is really big, with a lot of fat and oil on it. They have to prepare the food until it gets ready. I can just imagine, for those who are not vegetarian, that's what I said about Africa, you know, they prepare the chicken. By the time they cook that chicken, it's about 3 hours. And you are still waiting. So Abraham said, you know, don't go. Wait until you eat, rest a little bit. And then you can be on what? On your way. Now I wonder, did Abraham knew these were angels? Or out of a blue moon, he just said, no, just come in. But my understanding is, Abraham have seen this before. He have seen this, these are just not the regular visitors. Can you tell a difference between an angel and just regular visitors? God will have to give you insight in order to do what? To see and understand. But Abraham, Sarah, they went and cooked and brought the food so the visitors can do what? The visitors can eat. The visitors ask, "Where is your wife Sarah?" They ask him. He said, "There in the tent." Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year. Sarah, your wife, will have a what? A son." I like the way the Bible says. He says, "I'll return next what? Year, about this time." So we know there's almost 9 month period somewhere along the way there. And very interesting, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent. She was on the back of the tent at the door doing what? Listening. What are these visitors saying? You know, when she heard next year about this time, your wife Sarah will have what? A son. What did Sarah do? She laughed. Sarah laughed. Now, you know, that's why I read all those laughters before. What kind of a laughter was that? Was he nervous? Was maybe silent? I like when my dad, when he was preaching many years ago, he said, Sarah laughed in her heart. She laughed in her heart. You know, you can laugh all the laughter you want, but God reads what? Your heart. You can laugh a pretend laugh. This morning, when I asked, please look to every next person to you and smile and say, God loves you. I was watching. I wonder how many people really smiled an honest smile. Or maybe just because I said. But guess what? Everybody smiled. A silent laughter. A laughter in the heart. I pray to you this morning to God, that God will bring laughter to you. No matter what you're going through, there's so many things up and down. You know, people are not so sure. Right now, we are talking about recession. You know, people can't even make the rent. Never mind the food. Others are still in the hospital. Laughter. Sarah, that laughter was like a doubt a little bit. But let me continue here. Then the Lord said, As you know, Sarah was old and well advanced in years. She has passed the age of children bearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought in doubt. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Remember here, God is talking to Abraham. Sarah is still in the... Why did she laugh? And then if you read a little bit further, she says, no, I didn't do what? No, I didn't laugh. But God was reading what? Her heart. God was reading her heart. You know, sometimes we do have doubts. Sometimes we come short. Is this really going to happen? The Bible says, you know, please pray, you know, God is going to deliver you. God is going to do that. But you look and you say, you know what? This is so hard. will really God be able to come through? This morning, when I was over at Loma Linda Hospital to see Vanessa and Mama Sejo there, Diana, they were there overnight. The doctors went through. She'd been almost now 5 hospitals. UCSD, Tri-City, Michigan, you name it. And then she was there, and this morning when I got there, she was laughing. She was laughing. I asked her, what happened? He said, the doctor said, I'm free of lupus. Now, you know what? We were so concerned about what happened, the world and the lungs and all this, whatever is going on. We all end up laughing and rejoicing, and the mom back in Africa rejoicing and everything. The laughter of joy. But yesterday, we had doubts. Doctor said she'll come out tomorrow. I mean, yesterday, where they gave her another medicine. She was still there this morning. But then we were laughing. She was there and she said, greeting, please tell the Vista Church I love them. I'm doing well. And that's what I said this morning. You know what? There's a laughter of doubt, but there's also a laughter of what? Of joy. Genesis 18, verse 14. That's what the Lord asked Abraham. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And I'm asking to you this morning. Is anything hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But God read the heart. As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be what? That's what Abraham was promised before. I will bless her, I will surely give you a son by her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Even Abraham before, he laughed. But the question is this, is anything hard for the Lord? Let me share to you a very short story. Back in the 60s, when my daddy was working in the ministry, he had a vision to go to preach to one of the most dangerous tribes in Africa, if not Tanzania. Powerful, very proud. They were never captured slaves on that particular tribe. They are nomadic, but they're the most honest people you can meet. When they tell you, I'm gonna be there at 12, he'll be here at 12. They will keep their promise, even if they have to walk 5 miles. So we know them for honest and everything. But the message have not reached them. The word of God have not reached them. So, my dad was told, do you really want to go there? And he said, but the Lord asked me to do what? To go. So before he was to go, another pastor called him and said, you know, I need to tell you a story before you decide to go there, so you can go and think about it. With another preacher, he have decided to go some years back to go to preach with the Maasai's. It's almost about 60 miles from our village, down on the plains, next to Serengeti. They live next to the animals in the national park. They had a culture that is nowadays is no longer there. But previously, they had on their culture that when a young man is ready to get married, so to show your father-in-law that you are a man, you have to bring a lion head. Hello, don't sleep. Or another man's head. Jet, are you awake?
Yes, sir.
Okay. The men have gone to preach there. Before he could go very far, he saw a group of young men chasing him. He decided to run. He ran. He could not run fast enough. An idea came to his head. Next tree, climb up the what? The tree. Now the Maasai is, you know, now maybe nowadays, those old days, they do not waste their time to climb in trees. He climbed the tree, went all the way up. The man said, you know, I'm not even good on climbing tree. I don't know how I got up there. The tallest tree. The Maasai came by. Another had an idea. He said, you know what? Why are you wasting time here? Let's cut the tree down. Why so simple? Why wasting your time? Cut the tree what? Down. So they got the thing and start cutting what? The tree. The tree was big. They start cutting. The young man was cheering. I'm going to get married. My beautiful girlfriend now, that man will know that I'm a true man. The tree was cut down. The man of God is up the tree. They start cutting, cutting. You know, a tree, at a certain point, it will lean toward a different direction based on the weight. They could hear, kah! The man is up there. The man prayed one prayer, which he had never prayed in his life. He said, God, I know you are the God of the universe. You can do anything. But this one, I'm not going to blame you. Because I was told not to do what? Not to go to preach to the Maasais. And now I'm here. My head, when I looked out down there, I see almost close to 18 young men with spears, with clubs. Somebody's gonna get married. They start cutting the tree. Before he could turn around, he looked on the other side because he was way up. Guess what? Another 25 Maasais came in. Now they are almost 50. He says, Lord, I give you my life. I'm not gonna blame you. This one is too big what? For you. Church, before the tree could go all the way down, the new group of the Maasais who came in, they start yelling. They start arguing down there. So he couldn't understand why they argue. Where the group came and told them, you know what? Why are you cutting the tree? Somebody just stole our cows. Now the Maasai tribe, to them, they believe that all the cows in the whole world belong to them. Even the one in America belong to them. So it's their right to go and do what? And take it. So they were told, you're cutting the tree here. You're worrying about that man up there and they're stealing our cows. Guess what? The whole group just turned around. The young man who was getting married, he forgot about the marriage. Started running after the what? After the cows. The man looked down. He could see not even a single what? Not even a single Maasai down there. He came down. As soon as he touched the floor, he took his shoes off and started running. When he got the other side of safety, he said, you know what? True, you are the God of the universe. And the man was healed. The question, is anything too hard for the Lord? People are sick, but they're being healed. You know, I believe if God wants somebody to rest, you don't have to go through sickness. Right now, you can just stand up and do what? It's finished. But no, God wants what is best for you. That man laughed. Sarah laughed. And when you go back to the message, guess what? Sarah, next year, Sarah had what? A baby. And the baby was named Isaac. And Isaac means they laughed in joy. The doubt turned to what? To joy. In conclusion, God knows what is in your heart. Someone said this very beautifully. Even Pastor Elson said it very beautifully. But let me read first Psalm 30, verse 11 to 22. Psalm 30, verse 11 to 12. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. We laugh Sarah's laugh, not because we're faith, but because we find it impossible to have faith in such a position. Abraham and Sarah laughed because they had reached a dead end in their lives and because they adjusted to it. The promise of God notwithstanding, they had accepted their hopelessness just the way it was. If we are honest, we too accommodate ourselves to all those promises of God. And we laugh uncomfortable laugh at the end. Sarah's plan was probably to ride out old age with whatever other plans God had for her. Maybe she took some joy in the children around her. And yet God's plan for Sarah was so much bigger than her own plans for herself. God laughed. Sarah laughed. Abraham laughed, and today you should be laughing too, what God has done to your life. Not the laugh of suspicion or doubt, but the full laugh of joy in Jesus Christ. And she named Isaac, which means they laughed. Today, I pray to God that you will also be laughing. May God bless the message this morning. Amen. Thank you. In closing, we are going to sing hymnal number 341 in our hymnal book. 341. 341. He leads me.